Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock on Monday, the 30th of October, calling the meeting of the Board of South Whidbey Fire EMS to order. Meeting is to discuss the preliminary budget. That said, do I have a proposal to accept the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So we'll move straight to new business, preliminary budget.
Budget positions.
So,
yes, please.
Okay, so we're here to talk about the preliminary budget, which we have been working over the last couple of months with a budget committee on. We've been meeting weekly, and basically the process has been to go back through and look at our expenditures for last year to calculate our revenues and to determine what we anticipate the expenditures are going to be in 2024. I have in front of you, you should have the revenues and expenses for 2022, or excuse me, for 2024 versus 2023. And Commissioner Erickson Catt is going to email that to you right now. I apologize.
All right, I'll be watching for it. Thank you.
Okay. And then we are also, I'm sorry, I apologize. I thought we had them printed out. We're getting it right now, is our budget position statement, which is the document that you're used to seeing. I emailed a copy of it out earlier today. And that just breaks down all the revenues and expenditures that we have input to the budget for 2024. From the higher level view of the budget, what we did was to initially take an overall look at a breakdown of our different budget categories and how much we're spending in each of those. And we looked at a comparison of some of the other surrounding districts to kind of get a feel for where are we at and what does it look like as far as what our investment is in different parts of the department. What I mean by that is, how much are we spending on facilities? How much are we spending on capital for apparatus? And how much are we spending for staffing, training, all of those things? And what we found is that broke down to be that we're pretty much on track. We have been spending quite a bit in the area of facilities, and we have some pressing capital needs in the area of apparatus, as you know. What we did on this budget is we went through and we really reduced our facilities and capital spending for 2024 to get us to a point where we could adequately fund our reserve and contingency funds as per policy, which is meant to be 5% of our revenues. We were able to do that, but that said, once we get this budget position statement to you in just a moment, you'll see that we are not investing a lot in our facilities. So in the long term, we'd like to get back to a place where we can do so. What we're finding is we, in order to catch up on capital and facilities, we're needing to spend a little bit more than we're bringing in and spend down some of our reserves. Thank you, Kat. Okay, so looking at this budget totals and budget position statement, I think probably the easiest thing to do is walk down this with you, look at the different areas.
Clarification, does Commissioner Erickson receive this document?
Yeah.
I believe so. I have 2024 budget position, annual difference, and 2024 budget presentation. So we can just make sure I know which one to look at.
Well,
so we're starting with the budget 2024 totals.
The position?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay, so we can walk through this, and then Kat also has put together a presentation to give an overview.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we'll take any questions, and this is a preliminary, so obviously to take back and study and come back with any further questions you might have or send them over to us.
So Chief, a process then, we're going to go through this document that's titled the format we're used to, budget totals,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to go through them. So should we at appropriate time address those or have our concerns, questions, points separate from this? How do you want to make the process work?
Yeah. So if you have questions as we go through here, we can get into those. I do have our detailed budget open in front of me. So if you have kind of nuts and bolts questions, how did we arrive at that figure? We can help out with that. I know there'll also be some questions about how did we calculate changes in expenditures such as fuel. And so what we did is Kat went through and used the CPI to calculate those items. And then I ended up using the actual fuel or the energy, what they call energy CPI, to calculate the diesel. And that's always going to be a guesstimate, but that's what we did there. So going through the budget totals, if you're starting at the top, we have beginning balances. We don't know exactly what our beginning balance will be, so that's zeroed out at this time. But I'll circle back and we can see what we have in reserve here in a minute. Taxes, we've estimated our property taxes to be $6,129,226. That's based on the calculation sheet that we received from the county. And it's based on our assessed valuation multiplied by what our levy rate is. And as you know, our levy rate is not tied to the 1%, which is statutory, but to Seattle CPI. So we do get to hold some ground on that. But we have been losing a little bit on that levy rate. And what I mean by that is we started out, I believe, at 95 cents in 2021. And we were at 86 cents in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And 2024, we'll see that go down a little bit more again.
So it's 83 cents. Was that what I heard for 2024?
Oh, right now.
Yeah. That's what's being projected.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Kat, when you speak, if you could use a mic, I would love to hear what you have to say.
Sorry. So we don't know exactly what the final numbers will be, but we are expecting, just based off of the historical, what basically option on the levy worksheet that we have received in the past. Yes, 84 cents is kind of what we're looking at.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Kat. The leasehold excise tax is $3,000. We have nothing for timber tax. Do we not receive any timber tax in 2023? I don't believe. Okay. That brings our total tax revenue, base tax revenue, to an estimated
$6,132,000,
mm-hmm. Which is up from the roughly 5.8 million last year. Our state generated revenues include the ferries, the school district, and South Whidbey parks in lieu of taxes fees. We had several years where we did not collect fees from the ferries for a couple of different reasons. We have been in contact with them and have invoiced them for several years, and we'll be able to invoice them again with an updated contract, which the board's approved.
So clarification, Chief, this 3923 from the state ferries, that's what we would budget coming from the state for 20, 24 and doesn't include the back amounts?
That's correct. Okay. The back amounts. So here's the way that it works with the ferries is for the year 2023, we can't invoice the state DOT until February of 24.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that. And for 2023, we'll receive this $3,923. Now the invoices that we've currently sent or we are currently sending to them go back to about 2015. We're hoping that they will come through and cover those for us, and those will be about $20,000. So we have not input that in as a revenue. That we don't exist. Have it yet, but yeah. So those total $5,400 roughly, $5,540.67.
Mm-hmm.
Charges for service. The one funded item here you'll see is the hospital payments for consumable supplies. So this is our contract with Whidbey Health. We are looking at an estimated $279,000. If you compare that to last year, that was a higher revenue number, but that is simply because we had a couple of invoices that we needed to have filled for the previous year.
Okay, so that's why the drop on that.
Correct. Yep.
Got it.
So, Chief, a clarification, what is constituted as a consumable supply?
So medical band-aids. Okay. So
Lots of band-aids,
diesel. All of our medical supplies, things like that is what that would cover. Okay. Essentially, the concept of the contract is first response for EMS calls. And then we get into some miscellaneous revenues. Kat has done an excellent job of investing our surplus funds into tax-bearing interest accounts,
mm-hmm.
or interest-bearing accounts, rather. And so we're estimating about $30,000 for 24 in revenue there.
Okay. Yep.
We have had a very robust and active CPR program, and that's been really awesome, and it's a great service to the community as well. And we're estimating about $4,000 from revenue in that area.
Okay.
Taking this up to a total of $34,000.
Okay, so that's total revenues.
Yeah, so if you look on page 2, about halfway down, you'll see the total revenues at $6,450,000. What you may have noticed is previously in the budgets, you would have seen the carryover funds. Yep. or the estimated beginning balance included in that, so you would see a higher number. We don't know exactly where that's going to end up at this time.
Yeah, understood. Okay.
So, Chief, a couple of questions here.
yes, sir.
This is all on page 2.
Mm-hmm.
We have a zero balance for printing newsletter. Obviously, that's to provide information to the public. It's not for any promotion of any efforts such as a levy lift. If we do have a levy lift coming in 24, would it be appropriate, or would we have enough space in the budget to be able to provide information that is legit, so to speak, about what we do, who we are, in 24. So just a thought there.
Yeah, that's a great question. And we can certainly, I think probably the most appropriate thing to do there might be to reach out to Liz Loomis and find out what she anticipates as far as wanting a print material.
Right.
And then we can figure out what sort of investment
we
would need there. I can highlight that.
And so while you're highlighting whatever, on this same page, we have a line item for somewhere in here. Yeah, $10,000 for fuel for administration. How do we come up with those figures? Because the price of petroleum products goes up and down, mostly up. Is that a figure that you're comfortable with?
So, and I'll defer to Kat on this, but as I understand, what we've done with all of the fuel lines is to look at this year's revenues and then add it in the Seattle CPI for fuel. Is that correct, Kat? Yep. So that's how we arrived at those numbers.
Okay.
Okay.
And obviously that's a rounded
rounded number.
Yeah.
On the same page, you have administration healthcare benefits just shy of 200,000. I'm assuming that's taken from what was in place for the current budget with an inflation factor.
That's correct. I believe they were actually able to tell us the exact amount, yeah, to increase it by. Kat's signaling yes.
Okay. So that we have a position that's not filled called public education officers' wages showing zero. Is that position looking at to be advertised for in 24?
No.
Okay. Then the question would be is, do we even need it as a line item on the budget?
I don't know if we can drop it out. Can we drop it out of there easily? Yeah, we probably don't.
Because, I mean, if there's no intention to fill it, why have it?
Good point.
Now, of course, could wax forth about commissioner stipends, but that wouldn't be appropriate.
We're tied by state law, but they weren't going to make some, I think they're looking at making some adjustment to it.
All right. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
I'm done on that page.
Okay.
I had some questions on the admin page. Firstly, obviously, we've got steps included in the wages, I assume.
Yeah. So one of the questions that came up is we included steps on the wages and then also a COLA, which the federal COLA is 3.2%, which is where we're calculated at currently. That is what's called out in the policy in written materials. And we did a kind of a deeper dive to look through previous board materials. I know in the past we have at times, and I think fairly consistently over the last few years, used Seattle CPI, which would bring that up, I believe, another percent. I want to say it's around 4.6. Oh, it's almost at 6%. So that's something that kind of came up later in this budget process. We had calculated everything out at Seattle CPI, but a question that really should be posed to the board is how do we proceed on the COLA for non-represented? And that's not something we have to answer tonight.
No.
But we could answer maybe in the next...
At the next regular meeting. Let's add that to the agenda for the next meeting.
So in that same vein, is the Seattle CPI appropriate for Whidbey Island?
I think it's as close as we get. It's the only one now for Washington.
Okay. Then that's it's defensible.
Yeah.
Commissioner stipends, that looks like that's quite a jump from this year. Is that correct?
This year's amount that was budgeted was actually the lawful amount for one commissioner. So that $12,000 that you see in 2023, that's the amount that one commissioner can make within a year. So I just took that amount times three. I doubt we'll actually hit that mark because we have it in the past.
Okay.
But just put it in there in case there are a million meetings.
admin healthcare benefits, how much of a raise did we put on that? Because what I'm hearing and seeing is sort of probably 16, 17%.
For the healthcare, they actually sent out what the rates would increase by, and it would be 6% increase.
It's pretty good.
And then there would be no increase in the life insurance.
And then last thing was software. And I think we've got software split out because we've got recurring licenses elsewhere.
And also subscriptions.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's all my questions on page 2.
Okay.
Commissioner Erickson, yeah. Anything on that?
Not at this time, no.
Okay,
let's move on to page 3.
All right, so page 3 is kind of more of the same here at the top. I'll just open it up to you all and see if you have any questions on it.
Question about legal services. That figure of 16,000 is generally where we are. Is staff comfortable with 16,000, or do we need to increase it just in case?
Let me just take a look and make sure.
Yeah, that's one we probably ought to look at. Thought we had increased that, but I don't believe that we did. So we'll take a look at that for the next round.
Yeah, because I think the 42,000 is, we've still got a couple of months to go.
Yes.
Correct.
In the past, in 2022, we spent 16,000 out of that line item. In 2021, 6,600. 2020 is 3,300, and 2022 and 2023 were affected by investigations. So that 16,000 would be sufficient.
So maybe we keep at that figure, and then excuse me, there should be some flexibility if we need to augment that sometime in 24.
Yeah, there may be some carryover into collective bargaining, but
okay.
Yeah,
and that was part of the increase in budget for 2023 as well.
So we have a 73,500 for consulting services. What constitutes, I mean, that's a junk box category, but what how do we come up, how did you come up with that figure?
Okay, yeah, give me one second. So that figure is essentially Liz Loomis's services. Projected costs if we go ahead with a
okay.
levy lid lift.
Okay, that's my following questions on this page are probably answered in the same process. We have liability insurance of 164,000 and change, and we have computer repair maintenance of 121,000 and change. I assume both of those figures, the liability insurance is predicated on the current contract?
That's correct.
Okay. In other words, that's what we have this year, or is that what we projected?
That's projected for 2024.
And I'm assuming all this computer stuff is based on past history, or is that a firm figure, or what do you think?
Yeah, the computer, so computer repair and maintenance is now our IT.
Yeah.
So that's why that's kind of a higher ticket item. That's a fairly solid number. Now we're hoping that our expenses will go down a little bit on that. We had a couple of really big projects this year, like the Outlook 360 migration.
Right.
But you never know.
Yeah. And then similarly, there's some a line item under fire control volunteer charges, and I'm assuming it's based on current activity projecting out for next year.
Correct. And we also have the volunteer shift reimbursement mm-hmm. line in there as well. So between the two, we may need to, we'll see where we end up. We anticipate to have more expenditure in shifts this year, but we weren't tracking that very closely for 23. So
yeah, because our shift expenditure was pretty low this year, I think, so far.
Yeah, and there were a lot of shifts that were getting charged to volunteer reimbursement for a while.
Oh, okay.
As we made that transition.
And the last item on this page, we've got $500 for commissioner's travel, and I'm assuming that's predicated on going to the annual shindig like you just had last week or a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that covers my questions on three.
Yeah.
What about our standby commissioner from Puerto Rico?
Excuse me. Since I was on the budget committee, these numbers are pretty familiar to me, and we've been looking at them pretty consistently. So I appreciate the opportunity, but I'm good with what we've looked at so far.
We good to move on to page four?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. There's one item on here that we noted that does need to be adjusted, and that is the communications equipment. You'll see is a pretty large line item.
It is.
$289,250. So a large amount of that will be moved back to capital, communications capital. And what that is our portable radios, which are past end of life. And so the commissioners did approve purchase of roughly 25 of those this year, which we're starting to receive the parts for. So we're really excited about that. And then we'll expand that fleet again in 2024's budget.
So all of your figures for fuel is predicated on the a guesstimate of what it might be in 2024?
So I just took the highest amount out of previous years. And then I found the CPI for what is projected fuel increases will be. And then I just multiplied by that.
Guesstimate.
It is all a guesstimate.
Yes. We have a line item for fire equipment of $160,000 and change. What is constituted fire equipment? And B, is that figure is based on a quotes that you've received or what?
Yeah, let me just 1 second here so I make sure to get to that area and answer correctly. So some of the larger items that we have in the fire equipment are new extrication tools. Our extrication tools are, I believe, 20 plus years old at this point, and we've actually had some issues with them on calls. And then, as you know, we had some issues with them even on demonstrations. And so really the newest technology is electric. And having done this for a few years, I've been on more calls than I care to remember where the gas powered tools were an issue. They didn't start there. They got flooded or something like that. And it's really not a situation you want to have that happen in. So at any rate, we budgeted for two new sets of the electric power tools, and that'll allow us to outfit, you know, two of the first out engines at least, and then also a small set for the ambulance. So if they arrive first on, they'll have at least something to get a door forced open with. Beyond that, there are a lot of items that come out of this: mounting brackets for equipment, hose, new fire replacement fire hose, is a majority of the rest. The other items would be replacement extinguishers and fittings and adapters, and those are smaller ticket items. But the bulk of that is going to be the spreaders.
Yep.
And then you have dispatch services. I'm assuming that's what contract we have to ICOM.
Correct.
And that $105,000 and change is predicated on the current contract or projected? Okay.
Yeah, she said projected.
Okay. And then all of the items that are showing for full-time firefighters, et cetera, that's predicated on the current contract with an inflation factor, COLA factor.
Yeah, so as far as like the firefighter wages?
Yes.
Yeah, so we input that information based on both our wage matrix and then also the federal CPI of 3.6%. So that's, again, the one that we'll want to look at.
Yeah.
And see, or excuse me, I'm deferring back to non-represented. This is for the represented folks.
Right.
So this is based on the wage matrix that we currently have, and then bumping up 3%, which is what is in the current contract. We're in labor negotiations right now. We really don't know where that ends up at.
Yep.
The reason we selected that number is it's just what we've been doing, and we don't want to indicate that something's going to happen or isn't going to happen. Right. So
yeah,
that's very reasonable.
Yeah.
I'm done.
This page.
And then the authorized overtime for the paid. This actually one question on the full-time firefighter wages. That's based on 15, isn't it?
Correct. And we have, as you know, we're just getting into the hiring process for our vacancy that we've had for the last several months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been in the hiring process for quite some time, but we'll be finalizing it here in the next month.
And then the overtime, with if we're able to keep a full 15, is that overtime going to be sufficient to cover everything?
Is the overtime going to be? If we're able to hire one more, it should be. Based off of what we spent in the past, and last year and this year were kind of the highest that we've actually had that account. So it should be sufficient. It's just if there is more that we need, we could always do an adjustment at mid-year or closer to the end of the year if we know that we'll be able to hire a new firefighter.
There's also another component of this is going to be the CBA. So that's definitely going to be a guess.
Yeah.
At this level, because there are overtime components there as well.
Okay. I think that covers my questions on page 4. Commissioner Erickson, anything on page 4?
Nothing on page 4.
Okay.
Okay. So top of page 5 is basically the summary there of the fire suppression line coming in at 3.5, which is a large portion of our budget. Getting into prevention and investigation, we're at 31,000, which is modest, but we're picking up in that area going forward as well.
Mm-hmm. I do have one question back to the previous section. I think we refer to authorized overtime training, or we further down.
Yeah, so I think I know what you might be getting at is we're breaking out the overtime
right
into other areas. And so we have added overtime into a couple of different lines like pub ed and training. Okay. And that just helps the people who are responsible for those budget lines know what they can do without having to come back and forth each time and go, hey, how much of the overtime are we using here?
So is that figure you're comfortable with? It must be.
Yep.
And the healthcare benefits, AD&D, that's based on the figures we were seeing from the application. Okay.
Yes.
And then we have a line item under prevention investigation of special projects. Is that something you just put in, or do we have a specific purpose for that 6,500?
Let you know here. So special projects is going to include everything from Santa's sleigh to touch a truck to trunk or treat, EMS week, Woodby Island Fair.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Good. Those are very, very important items called PR.
Yeah, we had a great, thanks for coming out. Commissioner Noble came out on the trunk or treat on Saturday. The crew did an amazing job putting that together, and I think the public had a lot of fun there as well.
It was mobbed with kids, I'll tell you, right? At 5 o'clock, they must have been waiting in line because I got a little bit after 5, and there were all sorts of goblins and carryings on, and even some adults were dressed up, and then a couple of adult dinosaurs.
Yeah, I think our Langley police chief may have been one of those dinosaurs, as a matter of fact.
Okay. I don't think I have any questions on the training. Anybody else questions on the training section?
Just like everything else, all those figures are things that based on current budget and a good guesstimate factor. I mean, that's really what budgets are.
We get in pretty specific on the kind of nuts and bolts of them. Some of it is a guess, and some of it will be likely, even when we try to, we'll have a little bit of excess funding in things like travel. We don't always get all those events filled, especially when we're really busy at home with EMS classes and Fire Training Academy and all those things. So we do include some extra in that, but it is a Spartan budget this year.
In that whole training section, you have $20,500 for professional services. What's defined as a training professional or professional services?
Are you looking at page six?
No, page five. All lines up.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a second here, and I can verify what that one is for you.
Yeah, it's four lines from the bottom on.
Okay, so what that's going to be for this year, and these change from year to year, depending on what our focus is, but we have the anti-harassment training, which we've done in the past, and we're on the cycle of, I believe, trying to do it live every other year at this point, which I think is important. IFSAC testing and evaluators is about $2,000 of that, and those are folks to come in and test our firefighters for certification. And then finally, we do have a fair amount of that budget is $15,000 is for extrication training to go along with the new extrication tools that we have. Following that up with training so they know how to use the tools really well. It is new equipment and it's super time critical. So
that would be outside training.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Or bringing someone in.
I have no further questions on page five.
Okay, page six.
So on six, you might notice a couple of larger ticket items I can call out. We've got fire tuition and registration, and that's going to cover any fire academies that we have to send folks to. And then you've got marine tuition and registration, and I'll just pardon me a second here while I pull up and get the exact name of the course. So what we would like to bring in is the fire boat small NASBLA course, which is a training course for our marine rescue folks in using the boats and conducting the marine rescues, to bring in some more formalized training for folks and get them proper certifications. There's another course that we would like to conduct, which will be another $32,000, but we took that out of the budget for this year, keeping that price a little bit lower. And also, there's only so much you can kind of get done in 1 year. So,
yep.
So this project that was, or training program that was axed, would be something we'd see for 25 fiscal?
I would anticipate that's what we'd discuss with the training chief.
Yep. Okay. So when you have specific items like under training, we got ferry fees of $650 and travel of $550. I'm assuming that's predicated on what you did last year, or, I mean, all the way through, all these figures have to be pegged on something. So I'm assuming that's what you've done for some of those.
Yeah, and Kat, I think, can probably speak to the exact nature of that one.
As far as the training goes, Chief Dilley was able to get kind of an idea of what kind of conferences, training everyone would go to next year. And then I just used the per diem rates, the federal per diem rates, and based on whatever location each conference or training was at, to kind of give a good estimate of how much we would spend out of there.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on training? Facilities.
Okay. So facilities, obviously the maintenance employee wages are going to be the both of our maintenance employees is the largest ticket item there. The rest of those are, you know, everything up at the top is obviously going to be pretty solid numbers. Those are all based on actual estimates or actual invoices. Mm-hmm. As you get further down this item, we have a lot of kind of generalized accounts that help us cover all of the incidentals that come up throughout the year, as far as Commissioner Noble's favorite small tools.
I was going to ask about the small tools.
Maintenance parts and supplies, things of that nature. Those are, you know, can be difficult to estimate because of kind of what's going to break down this year. And, you know, I anticipate we may have to make some adjustments in this area this year, especially with a new mechanic coming in and anticipating the potential we're going to be changing maintenance facility locations. We could have some other costs come up. I'm not certain on that.
Yeah, this just feels very, very low, even in a normal year.
Mm-hmm.
Our chairman stole my thunder. I was going to commend you because it always seems like small tools, we blow right through it. But somehow I can't imagine we'll blow through 2,500.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive these days, but we have a lot of tools. So,
yep.
And
we did save some cost on janitorial services by bringing that in-house.
So this line item is yard maintenance. Does that mean it's including the exterior of our property, such as here at 36?
Yeah, so 36, supposed to be 36, 34, and 31, which is the Bayview Station, the Freeland Station, and the Langley Station have the largest yards that kind of require the most maintenance. And so for one person to try to do all of that, in addition to the other three stations and the maintenance facility and everything else he had to do, proved challenging. And we want to keep up a good appearance, especially at these main stations that the public is using and taking advantage of, which is great. And so we did hire out to a third service to come in and do the work for us. And I think they've been doing a pretty good job. They have been having a big challenge in Langley in that they haven't been able to get a business license issued. So once they are able to do that, they can get some work done up there.
So is that this is for our contractor that isn't licensed in Langley? That's
right. The Langley does require they're licensed in Langley just to do the yard work. Mm. And so they've put in an application and trying to work through that process.
Okay.
Electricity, I assume that's got a increase against it, or is that just CPI on top of?
Yes, it is our current cost increased by the CPI.
Okay. Commissioner Erickson, anything on page 6?
Nothing from page 6.
Okay. Page 7.
So I guess let me know if you have any questions on these. We carried over the best estimates we brought over from the previous budget cycle on vehicle and equipment maintenance. This scenario, again, we'll be looking to our new mechanic once he arrives in 2 weeks to kind of, it's going to take him a little bit, but to get his head around everything we have to get done.
you have a line item collision slash accident, and it's a very specific number of just shy of 6,000 less 2 cents. How did you come up? First of all, what is it for, and how did you come up with that amount?
I do.
That's just for vehicle accidents, and I just used previous amounts and then increased it by what the insurance company has in their annual increase.
Okay, so it's predicated on insurance policies.
Yeah, okay. And it depends on how many accidents.
We never have. Yeah. We never have any accidents.
Right.
It's those other people running into our rigs.
Exactly.
We have a line item of marine vehicle repair and maintenance of $20,650. And is that predicated on past activity, or do we feel we need to repair our Zodiac?
We've had a lot of cost to maintain the vessel at the Langley Marina. It's been out all summer, still on the hard and Everett. It's been very expensive to maintain annually. So for the last couple of years, I don't think it's actually been in service for the summer because of the maintenance costs. I'm looking to Sean because he's heading this up.
Oh.
So Sean is indicating that it's been out of service since June, and he's working to get an estimate on when that might get back in service for folks who can't hear.
So is the service issue specific to the marina, or it's unique parts for our equipment? I mean, I don't claim to know the nuances of that kind of vessel, but it would seem like from June to now, the problem should have been resolved.
So one of the things on that particular vessel is it went out for some fairly routine maintenance. And when they pulled it out and put it onto the dry dock, it had a cracked hydraulic tank that required a lot of work. And then they also discovered that the fittings were not stainless. And so that has required a lot of work to repair because those failed on attempt to service.
Huh.
So kind of difficult to anticipate all that, but.
I don't have a clue about the cost, but it seems like if we can take care of this, we shouldn't have more incurring costs. I mean, any time, as Commissioner Towers can say better than me, dealing with salt water, it's corrosive 101. But mm-hmm. Once this 20,000 and change is expended, will we have a stable situation and have our fireboat, for lack of definition of a name, back in service?
I hope so. There is a certain amount of, like you said, Chairman Towers knows more about this than about 99% of the folks out there, but it requires a lot of service to keep a boat in the salt.
It does, and I think that's probably a fair budget. The one I wanted to ask about was the fire apparatus. We had one Rosenbauer that's been through. Do we have problems with the other one still, or is that all taken care of now?
Yeah, I think the Rosenbauers all have some form or fashion of issue right now that we're working through.
Okay.
It's been a little bit challenging because we're having to send them out to get the work done, or have Central's been gracious enough to lend us their mechanic a couple of times. But
is the $50,000 going to, do you feel comfortable with that for next year?
You know, that really is a best guess, and I would like to tell you I'm super confident about the number, but I'm not, because there are a few different compounding factors there. One is we need to get annual services hadn't been done for a couple of years, so we got to get caught up on some things, and I think we have sort of some deferred maintenance, so that number may end up looking different. Like I say, I feel like we really need to get somebody in that kind of knows what they're doing and can assess the fleet, and that'll be Ian Carter when he gets here.
And he's due to start pretty soon, isn't he?
Yeah, mid-November 15th, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So we should be able to get at least a basic assessment before the end of the year.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. We have a large fleet, as you know, so he'll have to work his way kind of through that. But
so we'd be able to budget this line item now that's $50,020 could be massaged before we approve a final budget.
Yeah, and it can be massaged at the budget adjustment after the first of the year, because we do anticipate to have carryover funds that we can decide how to handle that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we could revisit the marine vehicle repair and maintenance line item, in our conversations during the budget committee, one idea that we floated was potentially relying exclusively on our mobile marine units, not one that's fixed in Langley. And I guess I'd just like to bring that to the table of, is it worth having a boat in Langley full time if it's not even available, versus I believe most of our other, is it one, two other marine vehicles that do the bulk of the work anyway?
I think it's something we've got to look at very closely when we get into that part of the planning going forward. Because not only if we got some pretty hefty bills for that one, the Marine
31
vessel here, Marine 31, is pretty much at the end of its lifespan. It's going to start having some pretty big maintenance bills if we elect to keep it. So I think that's part of our capital spending plan for the next 10 years that we need to work on. Once we can get everybody together again.
So it sounds like this is a topic that Commissioner Erickson has correctly raised. If we have a marine vehicle that is, I'll say, temperamental to maintain, and we have, I guess, Commissioner Tower, you're saying that the another one is at the end of its life, or is this the one at Everett Marina?
No, it's not the one at Everett Marina.
Okay,
the rib that we have predates the predates Marine 3 by 10 years.
Yeah,
or so.
So I think it's a valid discussion that the board and administration need to have, because the public, whoever that public is, expects us to be there, whether it's on land or in this case on water. So for one, would feel that we should have that discussion relatively quickly.
Yes, absolutely. And as Chairman Towers stated, that Marine 31 is pretty long in the tooth. It's in rough condition, although it does the majority of the work, and it's done an excellent job. We actually, in one iteration of the budget, had included $500,000 for a vessel to replace them both. And I think that's a conversation that we should have going forward, is do we want to do something similar to what, Central has done, for instance, which is a trailerable vessel, doesn't have to stay in the salt water all year long, and is a kind of a middle ground. There are some challenges, and we'll want our team to kind of get together and look at the options that are out there. We do have some challenges with shallow launches and things, but
okay.
Okay. Anything else on vehicle and equipment maintenance? capital facilities.
So the first one you see there is just our debt service for the bond. Under capital expenditures, we'll be moving the communications equipment over there from where you saw it earlier in the expenditures, just kind of tidying that up. And it's probably appropriate to move our extrication equipment under capital expenditures as well. But the overall budget, that won't affect.
Okay. Anything on page 7 from anyone?
I'm good.
Page 8.
So we have a line item under capital vehicles for fire apparatus of $443,000 and change. Is that something that we have already not encumbered, but we were going to be a new apparatus for coming online in 24? Or is this something new?
Are you're referring to the $443,000?
Yes.
Under fire apparatus?
Yeah.
So we looked at a lot of different things in this budget as far as capital items. Let me just cover the capital in general. What you'll see is a lot of zeroed out lines on capital expenditures. That's one of the things that we really stripped down in this budget, and that's both for vehicles and facilities as well. The reason being that we know we have an issue with the cost of facilities and apparatus going forward, and we know we have the aging fleet that needs to be addressed. The board has been working hard along with our team here in-house to come up with a plan going forward, and I know we're going to look at that in our strategic planning session coming up. When we look at the list of apparatus that by policy need replacement, it's coming to, I believe we're somewhere around over $4 million that would theoretically need to be spent. Now, do we have to replace them all today? Probably not. And we don't have the people in house to in service that many at once. Cause what we're talking about here is water tenders, or what you might think of as a tanker. We call them tenders in the fire service, and fire engines. There's also a need for a new marine vessel. We looked at that and we played around with those numbers as a budget team to see where would we end up at the end of the budget process. What could we purchase in order to keep the ball moving on that and still be able to put some money into reserve and contingency, which should really be about 30% at a minimum of our budget, and keep some in capital reserve as well. Where we ended up at was one tender. And the reason that we put that in is we had two in for the 2023 budget. We're working to purchase one of those this year. This would allow us to purchase the second one next year. Now, the truth is we do need to continue to replace engines. We're having a lot of issues with the aging engines. But that is what we put in at this point. And kind of my thoughts on it are we want to work on a plan to address the big picture. But that is one item that we have in there. If we were to go to an engine, we're looking over $1 million today. You can get some less expensive engines, but that's really where we would be at. And that would put us upside down in the budget.
Okay, so you're planning on purchasing one tender out of this year's budget, and then this is for a second tender.
Correct.
Okay. I'd like to see a capital expenditure plan figured out before we start purchasing. That's the one thing I would really like to see.
So agreed.
We know what size of fleet we need and what we need.
Yep.
One other question, we had a situation with the septic system here. We've got $27,000 in for station capital expenditure. Is that towards the septic or is that for something different?
Give me a moment here. So we initially had $100,000 in for septic repair. I feel like we need to have someone back out to evaluate it and let us know exactly where we're at on it. They did repair it and it's been functional since. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to get a better feel for, is that a best case scenario or is that a need? Because that cost includes tearing up the tarmac to replace tanks and,
yeah,
and things like that. So it does not include that. It does include smoke and CO detectors in sleeping rooms, a fire alarm pole station near the exit doors in the kitchen, mm-hmm, and the kitchen outlet and oven shut down. So what that, all of those things do is make the sleeping quarters here a safer for the crew and allow them to have a shut off when they're leaving the station. Something's on the stove, something's on the oven. You can hit this button and make sure that gets shut down. So what we've left in there really is the health and safety items.
Okay.
Yeah, that would not be very good for our PR if our main fire station caught on fire.
Agreed.
question for you. I've raised my concern about the earthquake, lack of earthquake stability for the generator and fuel tank at this station, as well as some of the others. Chief, can you inform the board, anybody listening, what we are, A, what we're doing and whether we need to put that as a line item for the 2024 budget?
So, yeah, thank you. As you know, we've talked about that over the course of the last year, and I know that's something important to have done. So what Chief Nye did is went out and assessed all of the stations to see what, if any, securing we have on both generators and propane tanks, and some of the generators have fuel containers attached to the bottom of them. Some of them are bolted down and some of them are strapped down. And so there were kind of two courses of action as we were looking at, could we go out and bolt down the generators to the pads that we have with a roto hammer, or, you know, tether those down with straps, which would be relatively inexpensive. We did do a little bit more research, and what we have discovered is if we want an engineered solution to this and to have those properly secured for seismic events, what we would be looking at is removing the pads that those generators and tanks on and re-pouring those to where they're double the weight of the tank. And then, I'm not an engineer. I'm speaking in general terms of what some local folks have had done. The other solution some of them use is to bury the tanks and go through the process of having underground tanks. I think at this point, we need to figure out what it's going to cost to have that engineering done. And that will be the next step. It is, I was hoping it was going to be a fairly early, easy solution, but what we're finding out is it's not. It's going to be a big, big ticket item. I don't think we're prepared yet to put a dollar figure on that, but I think we can get to the point by the end of the year where we at least know what the engineering is going to cost us.
I mean, it's something that when the you-know-what hits the fan, we've got to be prepared, and it would be real embarrassing if we're not prepared when, mm-hmm, when the fault that's in the area around this facility moves and we're out of commission. So I appreciate staff doing the research and bringing back something so we can talk about it as soon as possible.
Yep. So yeah, Chief Nye is doing a great job bird dogging that. And he got a little bit of information on like what Whidbey Telecom has done. And they've buried all their tanks. Now there's other costs to that. There's environmental permitting and things.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions on page 8? Hearing none, page 9.
We're showing a deficit of 407,000. Did I read that correctly with the parentheses?
So, right, that's where, if you recall at the beginning, I said we didn't have an estimated beginning balance, and so that kind of is a little bit different from what you've seen in the past. And this deficit represents our spending as compared to all of our revenue for the year. So in this case, like we've seen in past years, and this will likely continue to be the case as long as we have large capital expenditures to make, we're overspending our revenue, not to say our money, but our revenue by 400,000, which is approximately the cost of the tender.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we wanted to present you with a budget that was as needs-based as we could make it, as Spartan as we could go, but also representing, hey, we do have to keep the ball moving on the capital vehicle expenses.
I think we should leave the tender in for now and, you know, take a look at it when we've got some of these figures firmed up, because obviously wages for the next year are going to have a big impact.
I was going to say the deficiency, it's calculated just based off of all of the revenue and expenses that are in the general fund. So that doesn't take into consideration the beginning balance and the investment interest in all the three other funds. So when you add in that funding, there would not be a deficiency. There'd be an excess of about $1.3 million at the end of the year.
What, this is early to ask. I know we're two months away from the end of the year, but do you have an idea of where you think the ending balance will be?
I did. I calculated it, just a rough idea of what.
Yeah, not holding you to it. Just.
Yeah, what we would probably end up having remaining at the end of the year. And we could potentially have an additional $1.1 million.
Okay.
So it'd bring our beginning balance up to about $3 million.
Okay, and that would leave some funding. We'd be funded in the capital fund would have how much left in it?
It would have about $3 million in there. And then the reserve and the contingency would remain the same. And then for the general fund, that would take everything out of the general.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions on 10, 11, 12, and 13?
Looks like moving, documenting all the activity that we're doing. So I don't have any questions.
And just to point out, so when you're looking at point 10, page 10 rather, this is going to be the reserve fund.
Yep.
With a balance of 344,000. And then the next page, 11, is the contingency fund.
That would have the 172. Yep.
And the scenarios that we've been looking at in the budgeting committee would be putting money into both reserve and contingency to bring them up to 319,000, or basically 320,000, which would put them in line with policy of 5% of our tax revenue for the year.
Yeah, I don't think I have any further questions. Okay.
Before we go from here, or it'd be interesting to know, we have a tender in this budget coming up. Sometime I'd like to know, well, if you have a tender is supplying water for the event, whereas an apparatus is there to make sure that, you know, everything works. Is there a rule of thumb that tenders are important, but are the apparatus, fire trucks, whatever you want to call it, both are important, but if we're so dealing with the dollars, do we need to think about concentrating on getting new fire trucks, apparatus, and is there a way that we can maintain our tenders, or is it simply the insurance that forces us to have to move all the equipment out of our stock because of their age?
No, so good questions. So the engines are very, very important, especially for the staff stations or the station that is going to be rolling in first in on the call. So our tenders do have the capability to stretch hose lines and pump. But yeah, we definitely have a need for engines. The tenders are important as well, and we have some pretty old tenders that we're trying to replace. But we haven't had the reliability issues with the tenders that we have with the engines lately.
Yeah, and I think typically our three oldest engines are older than our oldest tender, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because the two Smeals and the Dali, 93 and 94, I think.
Yeah, we've got some pretty old rolling stock. The difficult thing, and we don't want to count on this in any form or fashion, but is some of the older rigs, they're the more reliable ones because there were some changes with environmental rules and things, but
yeah,
some of them also are becoming obsolete or in danger of becoming obsolete as far as getting parts.
Yeah, once they get past 30, they get pretty difficult to get parts for.
Yeah.
We've had situations where we've had engines out of service for as long as 6 months waiting for parts.
Yeah.
So doesn't that lead us to our strategic planning about how we address this critical need for, it sounds like the fire engines / the apparatus is job one, but the cost is so high that we're sort of in a catch-22, and maybe one of the things that the board and senior staff need to talk about is, well, develop a case for the public or whatever, either a bond or a levy lift, so that we can address that, because it's not going to go away. And if the rolling stock, especially the apparatus, is geriatric to the point you can't find parts, kind of makes it hard to put out the fires.
Right. Yeah, those need to be reliable. And we've had some reliability issues, which are multifold over the last few weeks here. Even we don't have a mechanic right now. We have one mechanic, but he's also maintenance, but yeah. And then also they're aging.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't want to be in the position where we're shuffling around just trying to get a rig that works.
Yeah. I can attest to that because my now second car, which was my first car, it's pushing 30 years old, and trying to find parts is real hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on the 2024 budget?
Well, we can, Kat has put together a presentation that we can go over. We'll go over it again, I think, when we get closer to approval. But if you want to take a look at that overview, look.
That would be nice to see. Yes, please. Yep.
Okay. Chief Dilley will get that going here.
Were we able to get this screen to work?
We're missing the one. We're working on this final TV.
And you know who's...
We got four screens, but one...
There
we go.
Whew. We know who's
it's
boss.
It's in presenter mode.
Technology.
It's in presenter mode, but I think... Can you see it? Okay. We can see it. Okay. And so I'm going to pass the mic to Kat. She put this together and...
So this is just kind of a general breakdown of everything. Would anyone go to the next page? So this is just kind of based off of what a lot of other districts kind of present as their annual. They just kind of break down what their department's about, what's their values, their goals, their morals. So it kind of starts off with that, their mission statement. And then they have just on the next slide, just a bit of pictures, just kind of give some personal touch. You know, kind of explains what it's all about. And then on the next side, I just kind of gave a brief description of the department, the breakdown of calls, the area, what the population, what all that kind of looks like. All this kind of ties in together and gives kind of the explanation of why we need this specific funding. Like, okay, we have this many calls, we have this much population, you know, due to the call volume and everything, it increases the wear and tear on vehicles. And so that's kind of where we're going with that. On the next slide, I just broke down the call volume back from 2017. Just kind of see the increase there. Obviously there was a
It's monthly average, is that correct?
For the call volume?
Yeah.
By year.
So then we had 226 calls in 2023. I think it's average monthly.
Yes.
I just am clarifying because it doesn't state that on the chart.
Yes, sorry. Call volume is not my expertise area. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. So it just shows the steady increase. 2021 had a big spike, probably because of COVID. But besides that, everything kind of just increases a little each year. And then the next slide, we just start breaking down our revenue for the year. Which has a total of $8,228,492.95. And then I also broke down, compared to last year, 2024 is expected to have $854,709 less than in 2023. That number is also going to depend on what we come in with our ending balance. So depending on what we actually spend from what we budgeted.
Just to point out on this one, so in case you're going, well, wait a minute, we just looked at the revenue numbers and it was 6 million something. So this one, obviously, we talked a little bit at the beginning about what revenues were included in the budget position statement that we looked at, and it did not include the reserve and contingency beginning balances or the capital fund beginning balance. Mm-hmm. And that's the big difference that you see there.
Yeah.
Thank you. On the next slide, I just broke down expenses into each different category to give us an idea of where we are spending the majority of our funding. And we can kind of compare it possibly in an annual aspect, break it down from year to year. We are spending a little over 51% in fire suppression, which would be expectation. Vehicle maintenance is going to be the second highest, a little bit over 25%. And then we have capital coming in at 6.87, facilities 6.37, and then debt services 4.68%, and training and administration. The next slide, the bottom of it just kind of goes through the actual amounts in each category if you want an idea of where we're spending. So this just gives you the idea of what the difference is from 2023 to 2024. As you can see, for capital, we reduced that by a lot, about $1.5 million. Debt services decreased a little bit. Vehicle maintenance, facilities, training have also decreased. Fire prevention increased about 400, and fire suppression has increased, and administration has decreased. So the only major increases there was fire suppression. But we do have overall expenses from 2024 to 2023, doing a lot of those capital budget cuts, it did bring us down about $1 million from where we were at last year.
So, and just to point out on this revenue difference, so it says, you know, it might be easy to think, oh, geez, well, we're spending a lot less this year. The reality is we've removed things that we know that we're going to need to spend money on, but we're relying on, I think it's important for us to rely on our strategic planning and our long-term financial planning to inform those decisions. Specifically, that's the apparatus we talked about, and also a station change. One of the potential directions that we've talked about going is a station consolidation, station improvement, and also based on one what the board determines at that point, we'll know more about how and where we'll spend the money, and then we'll have to figure out where we're going to get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just looking at the comparison here, obviously the vehicle maintenance is a little bit of concern in that we're projecting 60,000 less with a fleet that's really aging.
Mm-hmm.
And while, yeah, we've added a engine that's brand new and shouldn't have much in the way of maintenance costs, we've got an awful lot of equipment that is likely to have some pretty heavy costs.
Mm-hmm. The next slide kind of addresses some of those funding options. So just some of alternative fundings and grants. You have the SAFER grant, which could assist with staffing, assistant to firefighter grant funding, fire prevention and safety funding, volunteer fire department fund, the also additional revenue if we decide to either sell or rent the maintenance or other fire stations. So there's a couple different options that, you know, we could investigate with that, possibly renting maintenance facility. You could end up developing a monthly new revenue stream, which could be pretty beneficial, as well as if we decide to consolidate or sell, rent the maintenance facility, that would reduce our liability insurance, just regular electric expenses, property taxes. So it's a big annual savings for that. Additional funding options would be the local program. So they just recently came out with their most recent purchases. And for real estate, it was about 4% interest rate. And for equipment, it was about a 3% interest rate for those, as well as a surplus of equipment and vehicles. So there could be a number of equipment as far as IT equipment that we could surplus if we were able to rent, sell, consolidate any of those facilities, as well as vehicles, consolidating some of the stations. So, and the next slide just kind of gives us total revenue, expenses, and total excess, which is $1,370,000. And then if we go to the next slide, that amount would just be broken down between the capital contingency and the reserve fund. And then it would leave the general fund at zero.
Hey, you do it.
Right.
Okay. And so this is where we ended at on the budget process with the budget that we presented to you, with being able to fund the reserve and contingency funds up to that $342,000 and remaining just with $684,000 in capital fund. And I will take another look at the maintenance costs, Chairman Towers, and see if we can get a better number, because you raise a good point. So you see what exact, look at the details and see if we're missing something in there.
That'd be good. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Well, I don't think we require any action on the budget, as this was a preliminary presentation. So we can move on to next item on the agenda, which is announcements.
Well, before we go to announcements, a question to Chief. We have the preliminary budget. Where are we going to be looking at another workshop like this prior to approving the budget? Where do you, and when would that be, or how would we move forward?
So I was just looking at our calendar for the year, budget calendar earlier, but let me verify the exact date we need to get this in by. But I think the course that I had anticipated is to go over this again at our regular meeting.
Okay.
And potentially do one final approval meeting a little bit later in November, if that sounds appropriate. Of course, we also have scheduled the strategic retreat, which makes a pretty busy schedule for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that would give us a little bit more time if anything comes up.
Sounds reasonable.
What's the due date for? Which one?
Oh, no. So we have a November 30th is when our adopted budget needs to go to the county. So
okay.
We'd rather not do it on November 30th, but that's when it's due.
So I think our regular meeting this month is
the 9th. It comes up very early this month.
Yep.
I mean, so that gives us enough time if we need to schedule another budget-related meeting. And I agree, we don't want to be approving the budget on the last day.
Yeah, so we're just a week out from the next
meeting,
roughly, week and a half.
But I do think there's quite a lot of items that we need to firm up, or as much as we possibly can before we sign on this one. Okay. Absent any announcements, comments from the commissioners? Commissioner Erickson?
No comments.
Commissioner Erickson, you're on vacation. You should not have a cold.
I think it was just a conspiracy of this was the first moment that I didn't have any intense activity ahead of me, and my body said, it's time. So here we are.
Well, get yourself better, drink lots of water, and get lots of sleep.
Thank you. I will.
Okay. And with that, Commissioner Noble, any comments?
Oh, just a general that it was a nice thing to go to the Trunk or Treat the last couple nights ago, and a lot of kids showed up, and everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves. It was chilly, but they were having fun.
Yeah, and as you say, big hats off to all the staff that put it together. They did a great job, and so it's good to see you out there. We also went, obviously, we can talk more about it at the regular meeting, but Commissioner Erickson and I went to the State Fire Commissioners Conference in Tulalip last week, and so that was good. They had some good courses there, so
I'll share my highlights at the regular board meeting.
Sounds good.
When your nose is recovered.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Let's go home.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Sounds like somebody in Puerto Rico is chiming in.
He is also in favor.